The next coach in the teleconference is Wisconsin's Brett Bielema. Bielema led the Badgers to a share of the Leaders Division title and has produced a third straight season of 10 or more wins. Wisconsin collected its 12th Big Ten title last year and is aiming for consecutive championships for the first time since 1998 and 1999. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Very excited to play well yesterday on Senior Day. We had a group of 21 seniors that have put in a lot of quality time here and done a lot of great things on the football field and away from it. So to get them a win on Saturday against a team like Penn State, to play as well we did for four quarters, was very excited to watch that. Kind of a drizzly day here in Madison, but it was a great day in Camp Randall. Really, really special to be able to have a trophy ceremony out on the field after winning the Leaders Division. So very excited for the opportunity that's in front of us. Michigan State obviously took care of business as well down the stretch and earned their right to meet in Indianapolis. Never been through a rematch game in my coaching career. I actually pulled my staff this morning. Nobody else had as well. So uncharted water, but a very exciting one. Michigan State has obviously done a lot of good things and look forward to the opportunity.
Thanks, Coach. Let's go to questions.
If you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Adam Rittenberg with ESPN.com.
Hey, Brett. I know Coach Antonio was just talking about Kirk Cousins and how he's led the team over his longer tenure. Just wondering, with Russell, what's really stood out to you just about his 1 year there in terms of being a leader for your team?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that Russell brings to the table is consistency. No matter what you're talking about, whether it's football play, whether it's character, whether it's practice habits, preparation, execution, coming through in clutch situations, third down efficiency, red zone efficiency, everything about Russell Wilson is consistent. Everything you get one day, you're going to get the next day as well. So that's probably the number one thing.
And then I wanted to a couple other things. Your defensive backs, you know, for better or for worse, two of the images this season for your team are those two plays at the end of the games that you lost. How important or how motivated do you think those guys are to play well in this game and against a team that's obviously passing the ball very well?
I think in particular, you know, those two plays that stand out were plays that were going to be viewed as one of two things. You can either take them as a failure, that means that you just never learn from it and never going to move forward, or you can take a negative situation and turn it into a positive, which I think they've done. Statistically, we're very, very good on defense. That doesn't just happen. It's by what you produce over time. And, you know, our guys responded very, very well. Shelton Johnson, who played very well yesterday, was our defensive MVP by the coaches today, and a guy that's really come along in the season as it's worked along. So I'm excited about those guys and getting better every day.
And just last thing for me, Brad, what is Paul Christ, I guess, meant to your team this year offensively? Last year, you know, obviously you guys put up record-setting numbers again this year. What's he meant to your success?
Well, Paul, you know, I've said this ever since I've been here. In my opinion, Paul Christ uses players' abilities as good as any coach I've ever been around. I think as a head coach, you really appreciate coordinators that understand the skill set of your players and how to use them and maximize those skills. Everybody has a weakness, and if you can hide that or minimize it, you're going to be better overall. So Paul really does a good job of that, and the big thing with Paul is I think he stays very task-oriented. We're going to do what we do. We're going to have the same running plays. You're going to have the same passing plays. But each week, every game plan takes advantage of, you know, some things that he's picked up during the course of the week on what he feels might be there to create a play here or there. And those big play opportunities are usually very, very a major part of why we have success.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Drew Sharp with Detroit Free Press.
Brett, are Wisconsin and MSU almost kind of mirror images of each other in that these are two programs that aren't considered the part of the four marquee brands of the conference, yet you guys kind of represent a new era of teams coming into of teams starting to dominate in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I get where people are saying that. You know, in the whole conference alignment, everybody had different opinions and views what was going to happen. I think that nationally progressed to where you're going to have Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Nebraska that have won national championships. That's what it did. You know, you can't erase the history that those four schools have had, but you know, history is in history books. You know, we try to focus on the now, you know, what's in the newspapers today. And I really respect and admire everything about what we've done here at Wisconsin. And same thing can be said there at Michigan State. And I've known Mark a long time, tremendous football coach, and the product on the field represents what those coaches do every day. And, you know, Ted Gill, the D-line coach, too, I played for the guy. You know, I know a lot of those guys over there very, very well. So I think there are common things that make us both have success, but yet we're probably a lot different from recruiting to some different things that you'll see pop up in the program. There's probably some unique differences as well.
Thanks, Brett.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Chris Jenkins with Associated Press.
Hey, Brett, I wonder if you could start out by updating. It was kind of a scary situation with Ethan Armstrong yesterday in the ambulance. So how's he doing right now?
He's doing good. He just walked out of my office about an hour ago. He Ethan has had some pre-existing hip issues that he's probably going to have to get addressed after the season, and one of them got irritated on a play. We were really just being precautionary there. He thought that he felt the hip move a little bit more than it was, or than it probably did. So we just, rather than trying to put him on a cart and get him to an ambulance, they just brought the ambulance out on the field, and he got released early evening last night. But tremendous kid that is just off the charts in toughness.
Another question is, from talking to you guys last night, it didn't seem like they were interested in using revenge against Michigan State as a motivating factor. Why is that not important in terms of being motivated for this game?
Well, you know, I think that's a great thing to write about and probably from the outside world to think about, but what we focus on is what we do. You know, and obviously we got to execute against Michigan State and, you know, put in a game plan that goes against their three phases of the game. But I think our kids are internally motivated to have success. I think they respect the game and everything about it. Michigan State earned that victory. Obviously, they, you know, scored more points than we did and were able to execute at the end of the game in a way that gave them a victory, and our kids had to take that and learn from it.
Thanks,
Matt. Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Jesse Temple with Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Hey, Brett. I just had a quick question for you about the Hail Mary to end the Michigan State game. Mm-hmm. Your guys talked a lot about it yesterday and how much you know, they thought about it. And I'm just curious, have you thought about that play at all moving forward? I know you like to look ahead to the next game, but is that something that has been on your mind at all?
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago. I always take a walk with Coach Alvarez on Thursdays, and we'd been walking maybe a couple minutes, and nobody had said anything, and I just said to him, I said, when do you stop thinking about it? And he started laughing. He goes, he knew exactly what I was talking about, and he said, never. And it really, it's always in your, it's not like it's running through my mind 24 hours a day, but, you know, if there's a, you know, it was a great highlight on ESPN for about 3 weeks there. I swear it was on every commercial. So it was kind of forced on you in certain ways. But I think if you are a person that takes things personally, you're going to remember things like that your entire life. It's what motivates us as coaches. We're kind of wired a little bit different, you know. So it's always there.
And just as a quick follow-up, have you ever been a part of, you know, a game like that? Is that one of the wildest finishes that you've seen?
Yeah, that was pretty wild. We hadn't defended a Hail Mary during my time here, if I believe correct, and let alone have it be completed and have it be ruled a non-touchdown on the field and then go to the box and get changed, go to the review box and get changed. I mean, it was about as wild and crazy as it ever could be.
Thank you.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Bennett with ESPN.com.
Hey, Brett, I know you got another step here to go, but after going to the Rose Bowl last year and now winning a division title, getting the championship game, what does that say about the way you've established this program, doing it back-to-back years like that?
Well, you know, I thought a significant thing happened yesterday. When we were able to win and get to 10 wins, that's I think I heard Mark say that was two in a row for Michigan State, 10-win season. This is three. This is three in a row for us of 10-win season. It's never been done here in the history of Wisconsin football, so these kids now have the seniors leaving the program. They have 38 career wins. You know, if they're able to have success in these last two ball games, would go out with 40 career wins, which is, you know, another ties a high here in program history. So I'm very excited where we're at. Never satisfied with you know, where we're sitting currently, you know, and where I think we can go. But we've done a lot. I think we're the most winningest program over the last 5 years in Big Ten of all the programs put together. So I think there's a lot of positive things going on here. Our recruiting is off the charts. I was able to sit in my office today with a recruit and tell him, hey, I pointed at my office desk, and I said, you know, over the last 20-plus years, there's only been two coaches that have sat at that desk, myself and the guy that hired me. And, you know, you look around at other programs, and during that tenure, you're talking about coaches that have been maybe three, four, five coaches during that exact same time. So the consistency is there.
Another thing I want to ask you, you know, in a rematch, you don't see that hardly ever in college football, and you guys know each other so well, I haven't played the last few years. How does that affect the way you prepare? I mean, you kind of already know, I guess, you know, what to expect, but how do you kind of prepare for a rematch like this?
Well, I think it's a lot of fun. First off, you know, they've played a lot of games since we played last, so there's that film to take advantage of. Same thing for us. You know, you'll get some tendencies, you'll get some new things. Anytime you have a group of good coaches, which I think we have, and obviously Michigan State have, you get to see a little bit of that come through. But also you got players that are injured, guys that are going to play or not going to play, and how that affects the game. So it's a tremendous challenge. This is what it's all about. You know, it's a rare time in our league that you get a chance to win a division championship, which we did in the leaders, and now play for a Big Ten championship. And if you win that, you have a chance to play in a Rose Bowl championship. So a lot of really neat stuff happening in the world of Big Ten football right now.
Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Patricus with the Journal Sentinel.
Hey, Brett. You know, hey, you always say that put who you are on film to your players. And
yeah.
Teams. And obviously when Michigan State looks at the tape, they're going to remember the punt that they blocked against mm-hmm. the guys, and they're going to see what Ohio State did. I'm assuming you're figuring that they're going to try to test you in that area again. Do you feel you've improved enough since those back-to-back weeks?
Yeah, you know, it's been a major point of emphasis during practice. You know, they executed very, very well. And, you know, they definitely took advantage of the opportunity they had. But, you know, as they've moved forward, we've moved forward. And hopefully we're going to make ourselves better in those exact same situations.
And a quick follow-up on a different topic.
Yeah.
Third down, both last year and this year, their offense has done a really good job staying on the field on third down. What do you think the keys are going to be this time to maybe try to swing the numbers in your favor?
It comes down to execution. You know, there's no magic calls out there. You very seldom can dial something up that, you know, pops a guy free or, you know, he gets the exact same or gets the right guy in coverage at the right spot. We just got to be able to execute when we're on the field. Obviously put ourselves in a good position by the call, but when the time comes to make a play on the field, the player's got to make plays.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Michael Pointer with the Indianapolis Star.
Hey, Brent, if you could for a second, just kind of look at the Big Ten game, not just from the perspective of the Wisconsin football coach, but as a guy who's very involved in college football. How successful do you think this can be for the league going forward? I mean, do you think it's going to be something on the level of the SEC, which everybody seems to agree kind of as the gold standard for these things? But on the other hand, there's been some leagues where it's been, you know, with the Big 12, they've dropped it. In other leagues, it just hasn't been as successful as they thought. What's kind of your thoughts as we look forward into how successful this game can be?
Yeah, I came to this league from Kansas State. I had an opportunity to play in a Big 12 championship game when I was at Kansas State. Played Oklahoma, who was at the time ranked number one in the country. Everybody said they were the best team to ever play college football and all this jazz, and we put it on them pretty good, 35-7, and advanced ourselves into the Fiesta Bowl, but also allowed them, even though we beat them that bad, they played in the national championship game against LSU, I believe, and got beat then as well. But it really showed me that how much excitement, and there was a great environment there at that game. The reason the Big 12 dropped it is because they dropped teams, and I think that's probably the number one reason they're down to 10. When we added Nebraska, I think there's no doubt in our mind that this was going to be a successful opportunity for our conference to showcase the two best teams over the course of the season, and I kind of believe that the two best teams did get to Indianapolis. I really have a lot of respect for many of the teams in our league, but Michigan State and ourselves got to this point, and there's a buzz now. I mean, I don't know what it's going to go to or how much more it can be heightened. You know, if you were playing, if one of the two teams were really in a legitimate position to play for the national championship, it'd probably enhance it that much more, but hopefully that's the direction we're going.
Do you think having the championship game and playing a little later into November and December, for that matter, now is going to help teams, the Big Ten teams, when it comes bowl time because they won't have quite the layoff they've had in the past?
I get it. I know that people have said that. I don't know if it's really proven. But, you know, we've had some success against SEC teams here at Wisconsin when we had these long layoffs. So it really gets down to probably what goes on that last final week of preparation, who's locked in, who's ready to play, and who's able to go out and execute on Saturdays.
And what I think of, just for those of us who maybe, you know, saw the highlights of your first game against Michigan State but didn't, you know, weren't able to see the game straight through and really are just relying on kind of the highlights and also just some of the accounts we read of it, looking back, Everett, what is something you feel like you've got to do, absolutely have got to do better this coming Saturday night to put yourself in a position to win against Michigan State?
Well, defensively, we gave up some big plays, uncharacteristic of what we do. We gave up big plays to their offense and on critical down, some on third down, but also a couple on first and second down that really helped them put the ball in the end zone. So we got to be pretty conscientious not to give up the big plays on defense. And then offensively, we really need to, you know, stick to what we know. We need to move the ball on first and second down so that we can be efficient on third down. And you know, special teams has got to become a huge factor in momentum. And they had a block point punt that went for a touchdown. So we got to be better on special teams. That's very, very apparent.
Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Tammy Madsen with CBSSports.com.
How are you?
Hey, Tammy. How are you?
Good. I wanted to ask you if you could expand a little more on Shelton Johnson's progress. He's had interceptions in back-to-back games and has seemed to get improved with each game. Do you agree with that? Can you expound on that a bit?
Absolutely. We just, as a coaching staff, they named him defensive MVP for yesterday's game. The coaches really think, and I agree, that he's taken gigantic steps. Shelton's been very intriguing ever since he came here. He's probably one of our fastest kids. Really a pretty good student of the game, very conscientious, very detail-oriented task worker. So I think the game is just starting to slow down for him and it allows him to play faster with every snap. And he studies the game very, very hard and gets good on tendencies and alignments and has got a little bit of gamesmanship to him, which we've seen the last 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from the line of David Fox with Rivals.com.
I wanted to follow up on your talk with Barry Alvarez. Did he share anything from his past and any loss or play that stuck with him through the years?
Yeah, he did. He mentioned a coup. I mean, not only as a head coach. I mean, he went back and talked about a game in high school when he was a high school coach, when he's at Notre Dame. You know, I think if you're a coach that takes a lot of pride in what you do, you always go back to some things that, you know, that you, I don't know, necessarily do over, but just it made you think and grow as a coach. I don't want to go into details, but I think every coach has them.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tom Mulhern with Wisconsin State Journal.
Brett, you mentioned everyone was talking about Penn State's defense going into last week's game. If you look at your defense's numbers nationally, they stack up with just about anybody. Why isn't anybody talking about your defense?
I think because of number 28 and number 16. I really do. I think, you know, we're just so I think some people are just so enamored with the offensive production and the numbers that we put up that a lot of times the defense just kind of gets, not ignored, but it just doesn't become, it's not as nice a story for you guys to write, I'll say that. So, and our guys aren't chest bangers or, you know, they're not trying to clamor our attention. They just go about their business. I mean, you interview them every day, Molly. I mean, Chris Borland and Mike Taylor are 1-2 in the league, and they don't say boo, you know. They just go about doing their job and kind of a meticulous attitude to prepare for a good game on Saturday. And I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if I've ever had a defensive staff that makes as good as in-game adjustments and gets it across to the kids as well as I have right now. So I'm very excited about that.
One other thing. In terms of playing 14 games, is that a significant physical toll difference to 13 games? Is that something you have to worry about?
I think playing just this 13th one, you know, to get through. We were relatively stayed healthy yesterday, which was great, but for instance, 2 weeks ago, we really got banged up and didn't really know going to that Illinois game. I had potentially as many as 8 starters weren't going to play in that game. Guys that didn't practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and just finally got out a little bit on Friday and played the game on Saturday, and that's why we just didn't really play well in that first half. But I think it's critical for us, especially with all these people talking about playoffs and all that stuff. I mean, we're not an NFL team. We don't give our kids off during the course of the week. They're full-time students. They're on a daily grind. I think it would be very tough on a kid to expect them at this level, at Division I, bona fide, big-time college football, for them to play another 4 or 5 weeks in a row after the regular season would be, to me, would be you'd be doing a disservice to the health of our kids.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Patricus with the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, Brett, I forgot to ask you about the first Michigan State game with Monty Ball when he got dinged.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the second quarter, and then you got the next play, you got stopped on third down. he was out for a good portion of that quarter in the offense. The productivity sagged.
Yeah.
Was there a coincidence there, or is that just Monty's value to the team and you guys not being able to pick it up at that point for that stretch?
Well, two things, Jeff. I think obviously Monty is a big part of our offense, and you're correct in saying that. But I'll also say another big part of that was Michigan State's defense. They're very good. They're very talented. They have a lot of different players that can make big-time plays, and the balance that they have, you know, up front in the secondary is what has made them have such success. So we have to be more efficient. I think first and second down success, Jeff, is probably going to be a big key to Saturday's success in the championship game.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
All right, Coach, there are no more questions. Let's go a little early. Thanks,
Scott.
We'll see you in Indy.
Appreciate it, man.